We just want to welcome the Lord to open the word to us. But, you know, we've been talking a lot about territory. Amen. We've been talking a lot about kingdom mentality. And when you're thinking about a kingdom, kingdoms have territories. Amen. Territories have rulers. All right. Well, we are to take territories. Pastor's doing a lot more study on territorial spirits. But on Friday, we talked about the immature spirit. And, you know, some people may not believe in devils, but we tell people that if there's an area of your life that you're not in control of, somebody is. If you can't quit smoking and you want to, why not? If you can't get rid of anger and you want to, I mean, okay, so you might be able to say, oh, well, it's an addiction and I've got nicotine in me and so I can't quit. Okay, what about anger? That's not an addiction. You don't have a nicotine in you. There's something holding you back from getting rid of anger. It's a spirit. So whether you believe in spirits or not, it doesn't matter. You still got them. Hallelujah. Now, in America and in Europe, the devil does really good at his number one tactic, which is to stay hidden. Okay? But in the Africa or on the island countries, you ask somebody about devils and they know all full well. They just say, oh, yeah, right. Devils, of course. I know. So some parts of the world, the devil just uses, you know, staying hidden. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to expose devils. If you expose a spirit in your life by the light of the word, by honesty and repentance, then you're going to have the opportunity to get rid of that thing that you've been trying to control. You might be trying to control your anger. You might be trying to quit smoking. But we call that demon management. You can only manage it so long. It's going to get the better of you. They got a whole army to draw on. They travel in packs, and your little self is not going to fight off that thing, or you would have done it already. Amen? I want to go over just real briefly what Pastor talked about on Friday, because we're going to see as we go through today that these things all tie together. But if you will spend time in your quiet time with the Lord and just allow that mirror that the Lord uses to get really close, He'll show you some stuff. And once you see it as what it is, God didn't create you like that. First of all, God created you. Your purpose on the planet is to worship God. The Bible says you were created to worship God. So if you can't worship God, why not? There's something getting in the way, obviously. So this is just not something that we can handle ourselves. Now, we in this church, most of you know, believe in deliverance. I teach deliverance. I do deliverance. And if you don't believe in devils, maybe you ought to come and watch once. I've seen them try to bite me, hiss, slither, levitate, whatever else. Don't let that scare you, guys. The way we do deliverance around here, it's usually pretty calm. But I have seen it, especially before we had this wonderful system to get rid of them. You know, they'll wear you out. We do it the easy way now. But if you don't believe in devils, I'm here to tell you, they're there, whether you believe it or not. You know, my license plate says one truth, because truth is not relative. God doesn't have a different truth for you and a different truth for you and a different truth for you. God's got one truth. Whether you believe it or not doesn't matter. I tell people, you know, way back when, before Copernicus or whatever, you know, people used to believe that the earth revolved around, the sun revolved around the earth, because that's how it looked to them. And that was the truth to them. The sun revolved around the earth. Well, when they proved it wrong, they found out that that wasn't the truth. But it was really truth to them. Before Columbus, people believed that the earth was flat. They looked out there, they saw the, you know, they saw out over the waters, the earth was flat. They thought that when you got to the horizon, you fell off. Well, that was disproven too. So their truth was not truth, was it? Everybody say one truth.
One truth.
Amen. So this is the truth. Everybody hold up your Bible, say this is the truth. So when we reveal darkness in the light of the truth, then all that yuck has to go, and then we get to fulfill our purpose in God. Amen? On Friday, we were talking about an immature spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:11. Now, when you come to the Lord and you're just getting to know Him, you know, even if you're mature in the things of the world, chances are you're immature in the things of God. So, with people that have known the Lord a long time and still act ridiculous, you better look in the mirror and recognize that you have a demon, and you're going to be acting that way the rest of your life. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." It's time to put away childish things. Amen? "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known." That means that, you know, when we grow up, we're going to be known. We're going to know God as we're known by Him. Amen? And it talks in the Bible about how we look in the mirror, and as soon as we turn away from the mirror, you know, we'll get in God's presence, or we'll go to a church service, and we listened about this spirit of immaturity, and we'll look in the mirror, and then as soon as we turn away and take our face out of the mirror, we forget. And we forget what we just saw in the mirror, and we still continue to act goofy. You have to continue to seek the Lord, pray, and ask for deliverance. Amen? And we talked about signs of immaturity, not finishing what you start, blaming others and using excuses, always being self-motivated. You can't reach a place of trust or submission to God or authority. You have to have attention all the time. You're led by your emotions and feelings. People say, "God told me, God told me, God told me." That's your emotions and your feelings, guys. Don't put them on God. You know, if you keep doing what you've been doing and you're not getting anywhere, chances are you're not hearing from God. And anybody that tells you all the time, "I heard from God, I heard from God, I heard from God," run away. God doesn't speak to anybody that much. So just be a little afraid of them, okay? They are talking to familiar spirits, and they're listening to their emotions and calling it God. I don't think God appreciates that too much. You better be careful when you say something's God. They can't discern between the voice of God and their own feelings. And that's where the Bible calls it always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Never coming to a functional knowledge of the truth and being able to use it. You hear the scriptures, you hear the scriptures, you hear the scriptures. Well, hello, use them. Okay, so if you're unable to do that, there's a spirit behind it. It's keeping you immature. And we also talked about wisdom comes with maturity. And the scripture for that is 1 Corinthians 2:6. I'm not going over this whole teaching. The reason I am bringing this up is because as I talk about this next spirit, we revealed the spirit of immaturity on Friday. You're going to see that these spirits travel together. And if you recognize one and leave the others, you know, that's not freedom. We want you free. Okay. Go to 2 Timothy, please, 2. So we've talked about the spirit of immaturity. This is one of my favorite spirits to talk about. The spirit of control and manipulation is today's subject. And let's see, not subject. I don't know. Yeah, he's on the hit list. Anyway, this spirit's on the hit list, okay? We're going to go after it. We're going to reveal it so that we can get real with God, so we can get honest with ourselves. If we would just get honest with ourselves, guys, we would deal a whole lot less with demonic stuff. Okay, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. The word says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, not to to the ruin of the hearer. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings or gossip, for they will increase to more ungodliness. You ever notice when people start gossiping and you enter into that thing, you start to feel yuck all over you? Okay, it increases to more ungodliness. Then it goes on to talk about Hymenaeus and Philetus, if I'm saying their names right. They had strayed concerning the truth. And so they were exposing this stuff. They were exposing, you know, if you won't allow the Lord to expose your stuff, somebody else will. It's a lot less painful to have the Lord do it. And that's part of maturing. When you're young in the Lord, you need somebody else to help you see in the mirror. After that, you better listen to the Holy Ghost. You can't have somebody holding up the mirror for you forever. You better carry it around with you. Amen? The world calls it taking inventory. Call it what you want. Just do it. Okay, every day, take inventory. We call it checking your fruit. How's your fruit today? Amen? So we all know that the purpose of the devil, the head devil, Satan, and all of his underlings is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So what we want from God is some divine correction. You know, God sends people to this ministry to be healed, to be changed. And I tell people that if we didn't preach such hard truth, if we had ear tickling, kind of make you feel good and warm and fuzzy truth all the time, this place would be jammed. You know, but people don't want to look in the mirror. They want to look in your mirror, but they don't want to look in their mirror. Amen? Okay, that's where the gossiping and backbiting thing comes in. It's time to grow up and look in your own mirror. Amen? Praise God. Judge your own fruit before you try judging somebody else's, okay? Now, the devil's going to attack you one way or the other. Face it, that's life, especially if you're a Christian, especially if you're in a place that teaches the truth, especially if you have decided to say yes to God and your calling. So either you're going to be attacked with an all-out attack or from a family member or just life circumstances. Amen? They're hard enough. So when we're talking about this spirit of control and manipulation, a lot of people call that spirit Jezebel, because that's what the Bible, that's our example in the Bible. Now, demons don't have names like that. You know, that was a human being, but we call it the spirit of Jezebel frequently, and we refer to it as that. So don't let that mix you up. We're talking about the spirit of control and manipulation. And also, you know, so you're talking about a female figure in the Bible, so you might say she, but gentlemen, don't be fooled. She can live in you, okay? I tell people that spirits don't care who they dwell in. Spirits of bigotry don't care if you're black or you're white. You're all pink on the inside. Amen? They don't care. As long as you breathe, they'll take you. They'll take your body. So just because you're a man in this place and we're talking about a spirit of Jezebel, and I might say she, does not mean you're exempt. So don't stop looking in the mirror, okay? We're going mirror looking today. Okay. Deliverance from demonic spirits, be they the spirit of immaturity, spirit of control and manipulation, the spirit of anger, they only are going to come out of you if you get honest with yourself and expose them and want them to go. If you don't want them to go, they don't have to go. Do you understand that? If you don't want them to go, if you're happy with the way you are and think that everybody else has the problem, if you don't expose this stuff and look in the mirror, they have every right to stay. And I'm telling you, I've tried casting them out of people, and they'll look me right in the eye, and they will say, no. I don't have to go. I have a right to stay here. And by golly, they do. So I don't bother wrestling people's devils until they got real with God, get real with themselves, and seek the truth and want to be delivered. And just because you guys, you know, you might go through deliverance once, doesn't mean that you're okay for the rest of your life. You know, we got to do spring cleaning. Amen? We all pick up stuff. Matter of fact, we needed to pray deliverance for somebody, you know, just because it was time for deliverance. And so we were doing it at my house because it was just one person. I said, you know what? I need a spring cleaning. You come and pray for me. And so I spent some time with God, getting honest, getting quiet, and I asked my friend to pray for me. Praise God. Happy again. So anyway, if you really want to be set free, I don't care if you call it a behavior. Bit of a list of some of the characteristics of this spirit of control and manipulation, who today we're going to call Jezebel. And there's reasons for doing this. When I first did this teaching, oh my God, when I got this stuff out again, it brought back a lot of pain. Because we were basically going through a church split. We had somebody very close to us, just, shoo, out there, Jezebel, woo-wee. And when this spirit was exposed, the thing flipped out and took some people with it. Hallelujah. All you can do is tell the truth. People are going to follow what they're going to follow. But anyway, it brought back some pain. And we're not going through anything like that right now, thank God. That was a big church-splitting Jezebel demon. That's what that was. But we still all have to monitor ourselves for control and manipulation. Amen? Just monitoring our hearts. So you may not be one of these flamboyant witch-like people that dress flamboyantly and all the makeup and the... Anyway. You can see them coming, usually, if they're the big church-splitting ones, the ones that come in the female body. You can see them coming. And they usually head toward the pastor or toward somebody close to the pastor. But in the church body, they'll use anybody to bring a split, to bring division. In your individual households and homes, they'll use anybody to bring division and bring a split, to bring strife. So nobody's exempt. Some of the characteristics are that this demon refuses to admit guilt. They refuse to admit they're wrong. Everything is everybody else's fault. The spirit is very insecure. So I just named another fruit, and I'm going to try to do this throughout this teaching. So I just told you about the spirit of control and manipulation is in a person that is insecure. That is also a spirit. It could have come in through a childhood trauma or whatever, but insecurity is also a spirit. So already we see these two hanging out together, okay? You know, when they have the light or they're confronted with something, they might be sorry. They're sorry that they hurt your feelings. They're sorry that they got caught. But they're not really sorry that they continue to manifest this nonsense and make your life miserable. They refuse to look in the mirror and admit that they got this controlling spirit and get rid of it. The devil does not want to be exposed. It's a strong man, and it does not want to go. The second thing is that it takes credit for everything. Everything, every good idea was their idea, and if it wasn't their idea, it was a bad idea. Okay? The spirit uses people to accomplish its agenda. It's got an agenda. It can't accomplish it by itself. It's going to use people to do it. Strife is an example, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The spirit has others do its dirty work. In the Bible, Jezebel was married to Ahab. Jezebel was controlling and manipulating. Ahab was very wimpy and pitiful. He was a whiner. And Jezebel used Ahab to do her dirty work, and vice versa. Those spirits feed off of each other. When you see somebody that's got this spirit, they generally link up with or prey upon somebody that has one of those wimpy spirits, somebody that they can control and dominate. Amen. That's the usual way. If somebody, you know, we Christians, we get married pretty quick, right? Well, that's my wife. I'm going to get married. Well, we can't sleep together. And we're sure in a hurry to do that. So we better get married. That's what Christians do. I'm just telling you like it is. You know what, you guys? You need a year. 1 year. That's what the Jews do. That's what they do in the Bible. Don't be in a hurry to get married. You may wake up one morning and find out that Jezebel married Jezebel. No. Oh. Now all hell's going to break loose. And if that one Jezebel can't control the other person because they married somebody that's also strong and not wimpy, they got to control somebody. Now they're going to control and rule the kids and really make a mess of the family. So if in the Christian home, if that spirit can't control the spouse, it will go after the kids because it has to control somebody. This spirit goes around getting everybody all worked up. I'm telling you, I've learned to be careful of this thing. Somebody will come to me and say, did you know? Did it. And the first thing I want to do is jump up and go fix it. I've learned from my husband that's not too smart. You go and you go fix it, and you realize that that was not what happened at all. Now you just hurt somebody who was totally innocent because somebody that wanted to stir up strife, excuse me, let me rephrase that. Somebody that was being used by a devil that wanted to stir up strife just spoke in my ear, and I'm going to act on that thing. Okay, that's control and manipulation, trying to cause up strife. And a lot of times it's causing strife so that they look good because they need attention. They're attention seekers. Amen? So they'll run around trying to get information from people, and they'll be your best friend and just talking about, maybe we better pray for this person. Just talk to you. You know, they elicit information from you. And they're like your friend, and you give them this information, and then they go and they use it against the person. Amen. And then when they get the information from you, it could be truth, but when they give it again, they leave out a part of it, or they add a little extra part in. That's what I see happen all the time. When people come and tell me something, and then I investigate it, it didn't really happen like that at all. Okay? Now, can you see how that goes with immaturity? The person that told me is really trying to do the right thing. Maybe it's a house manager trying to keep their house right. Maybe it's my 7-year-old trying to look good in front of mom. I don't know. Kids. They get used by this spirit a lot. But you can see it's an immature spirit. You know, if you can't recognize that what you're about to speak out of your mouth is gossip and then strife and division, you're immature. You're being used of the devil. This spirit doesn't care who it uses. It needs to manifest through somebody. Okay? And, you know, we don't have to be demon-possessed to have some spirit talking in our ear trying to use us on a daily basis. We got to keep our guard up all the time. I don't care if it's in me, on me, or around me. I don't want it. I'm not going to get technical about where the spirit is, okay? If it talks in your ear long enough, the door gets open, then it comes in, okay? So I'm not saying that everybody that may, myself included, manifest something like this, miss it, has a spirit of control and manipulation. But nobody's immune from hearing what they thinking was God, and it's not God. Nobody's immune, okay? This spirit brings confusion. It talks in confusion. It brings confusion. And when it's confronted, it changes the subject. You approach somebody on a subject, and you're trying to, especially like, you know, with what we deal with house managers or whatever, and we have a meeting and we're trying to get things right in the house and bring unity, and you expose something, it just changes the subject. And we have to recognize that pattern in people, in ourselves and in others, and not allow that spirit to manipulate us and say, no, wait a minute. That's not what we were talking about. You got to do that with your kids, right? Wait a minute. You just changed the subject. Let's go back to what we were just talking about. Now, something that's really important to know is the person that has this spirit is a victim. It's a host. It has a parasite that is sucking the life out of them and using them, and they don't know they're being used. So this is what I really want to get to today. I want you to check yourself, not somebody else, okay? And see if the Spirit has been using you so that you can look in the mirror, so that you can repent, so that you can get set free. Amen? These are the spirits that the big territorial spirits control. So you got these big territorial spirits over an area or over a church. They're assigned to a church. And then they manipulate the people like pawns on a chessboard to get them to bring division. So, you know, we can pray and fight the territorial spirits, but we have to monitor ourselves for these demons that want to use us in everyday life. This spirit also ignores people. If you don't agree with them, they'll just ignore you. They never give credit where credit's due, and they're not grateful. They don't show gratitude. Now, I know you guys are seeing your brothers here. Go back to the mirror, okay? Don't worry, your brother's looking in his own mirror. So I just gave another demon that travels with this. Ungrateful. That's a spirit too. Amen? So they travel in clusters. Critical. They're critical. They're always criticizing. Nothing's ever their fault. It's everybody else's fault. So that control and manipulation travels with a critical spirit. So far we've got ungrateful, immature, critical. What else did I forget? Insecure. If that sounds like you, we haven't even hit them all yet. You know, if we've hit on a bunch that you feel like you deal with, chances are you have a spirit of control and manipulation. That's the big boy holding all the little boys in. Okay, so you better look in the mirror if you want it to go. These people are always trying to upstage and one-up you, you know, always trying to look good. People in the church spiritualize everything. These spirits spiritualize everything. They try to use the word of God against you. Or they'll pray. They'll be in a group and they'll pray something that makes you think you're doing something wrong or you're supposed to do something. And guys, that's nothing but witchcraft. That is witchcraft. They try to make you think you're wrong and that it's God's idea for you to do their agenda. You understand? So be careful of that. And be careful what you pray, people. This spirit travels with witchcraft. Amen? I don't care if you're in the church or not. If you are like this one that was here long ago that brought this teaching up, whether she knew it or not, this girl was a witch. She looked like a witch. She acted like a witch. And she was practicing witchcraft with her prayers, and with her flattery of the pastor, with her, it was ugly, guys. Now let me share something else while we're on that subject. Men of God especially, the devil will send a Jezebel spirit like that. She's probably pretty, dresses flamboyantly, lots of makeup. A lot of times the men don't recognize it. Hey, makes you feel good, boys. There's somebody paying attention to you like that. The men don't recognize it, but I'm telling you what, your wives will. And you better listen. This particular spirit was hitting on my husband for quite a while. Well, I trust my husband very much. And I also trust the Lord. But I was watching, trust me, I was watching. Watching and waiting. But also, I didn't really know what to do about it because I know the Lord loves that woman. I know that that woman had an anointing on her life and that she was called of God. And she knew it too. But that's what she thought she was operating in. She was a victim. She was a host. She didn't even realize what she was doing. But boy, the Holy Ghost let me know. Now, trying to get that message across to my husband was another story. Oh, honey, she's just one of our children. She doesn't mean anything by it. Well, eventually, he recognized it. And so that's why he lets me teach this one. Because I recognize it. Okay? So I'm saying to you men, beware. And if your wife tells you something, listen to her. And women, don't tell them in a way that you reflect that you don't trust them. Because they're not going to listen to you. This is not... Or you're manifesting jealousy. Amen? So you don't want to come to your husband and try to reveal a controlling and manipulative spirit with a spirit of jealousy on you. Hello? It's not going to get anything accomplished. So just pray. Pray for the person. But we're going to do here what we do here is we confront the person. Because that person needs to be set free too. And unless it's revealed to them in love, they're going to be bound by that thing forever. They're going to go from church to church to church, feeling like nobody loves me. I'm all alone. So, hallelujah. Oh, and wives, take good care of your husbands, if you know what I mean. Because if you don't, somebody will. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Keep your husband's happy. It's your job. I keep mine happy. If I don't, somebody will. I'm not stupid. Amen? But let me tell you, men, it's a whole lot easier for the wives to keep you happy if you're loving them as Christ loves the church. Hallelujah. You romance them a little and you wait and see what happens. A little flower goes a long way. Peck on the cheek, little rub. Amen. Back to Jezebel. Listen, this spirit operates very much in the area of sex and sexuality. It will go into the home and demand. A man might demand sex from their wife like they're a piece of meat. Or the woman might use control to withhold herself from her husband to manipulate him. Both of those are manipulative and controlling. That's why we brought that subject up, okay? It's a part of this spirit. Okay. This spirit will turn the table on you all the time. You'll be talking about one thing and confronting it, and all of a sudden, you wonder how you got wrong about everything. You're trying to approach your husband or your wife and tell them, honey, can we talk about this? This is bothering me. And all of a sudden, you're the bad guy, and you did everything wrong. Amen? You know anybody like that? Okay. This spirit is insubordinate and never takes the side of the authority, of the person in authority. They're always coming against authority. Be it your house manager, be it your spouse, be it your parents, be it your employer. The spirit does not like authority. They're pushy and domineering and pressuring you. They sow seeds of discord and tell half-truths. They have to be the center of attention. They're also vengeful. And they can destroy reputations. That's where the gossip comes in. So there's another spirit to add to the list. Gossip. They're know-it-alls. Ooh, and the religious ones, they're really nasty. Because they know the Word of God and they use that against you. They manipulate you with the Word of God, act like they know it all. These spirits dwell in the local churches. Now, back in the Bible, when Jezebel was on the earth, her main target was Elijah. Remember? The prophet. She went after the prophet. This spirit hates the anointing, be it on a man or on a woman. The spirit wants to destroy the anointing. The spirit wants to keep others from fulfilling their purpose in God. So, of course, they infiltrate the church through Christians. Now, I'm not talking about satanic witches that are in covens coming into a church to split it up. That happens too. What I'm talking about is a man or a woman that calls themselves a Christian but possesses this spirit. But because I've never been in a church that exposes these things or even teaches them that spirits exist, they come in and break up a pastor's marriage. It could be the church secretary, for example. They get themselves in positions where they're near authority. If they can't get to the pastor because the pastor's on to them, they'll go to the next closest person to the pastor, which is what we saw happen in this church. So these people also have an independent spirit. We've been talking about that lately too. If they can't have their way in a body because the body's onto them, they'll just move on. Okay? With a woe is me, nobody understands me. An independent spirit. They can't submit to an authority in a local church. So when the mirror gets too close, they just go to another church and bring division there. I can't help what happens in all the other churches, but I can keep my eye out in this one. Amen? Now, this is, in the end times, you know, we're dealing with a lot more stuff, you guys. You know that. Everybody is going to deal with this spirit, so you need to be aware of it. It's going to try to use you. It's going to try to use your family. It's going to try to use your coworkers, and you have to know how to handle it. If it's in an unsaved person, obviously, you can't walk up to them and say, well, you got a demon, you know, like to your boss. Then you're going to get fired. But you can stand up. You know, I used to work in the operating room, and I guess I saw a lot of control and manipulation working through men in there. Those surgeons were pretty obnoxious. And they can walk all over you if you let them, but if you stand up to them nicely and respectfully, they respect you. So I got along with all the surgeons. People used to try to bribe me with food to go do surgery with some surgeon that was so ugly. They would, because I could handle them. So, you know, you're going to deal with these people in the world. You can't be wimpy, in other words. Now you got to check yourself for an Ahab spirit, a wimpy woe is me spirit. Because they'll beat you up. And that Ahab spirit's just feeding that thing anyway. So we got to know our enemy. This spirit is very pushy and presumptuous, and they can't tolerate rejection. So when you confront it, if they haven't been looking in the mirror, if they don't want to change, if they don't want to change and they're confronted, they're going to perceive it as rejection instead of correction. And these people cannot be rejected. They cannot tolerate rejection. So put that spirit on there too. There's another one. They can't stand to be rejected. So they're going to accept the correction as rejection, and they're not going to receive it. They're just going to say that you're rejecting them. Then they're going to twist it again and throw it on you and tell you, well, you're rejecting me. That's how it is. So you just have to try to teach them, educate them in love. Bring them to your pastor and me. Okay? If this is a family matter and you need to deal with it, come through deliverance. Come talk to the pastor. Get counsel if you recognize this thing in yourself. Okay. Oh, here's another spirit to add to the list. Exaggeration. You know, they'll get some information, and then they'll bring it to you and blow it all up and make a little thing big, like the house is about to burn down. I go running down there, and everybody's just sitting there all peacefully. Amen? These people manipulate, and they have this possessive, what they call love, possessive, rather than divine love. It's suffocating. It's suffocating of the person that it uses, and it demands total devotion. It demands respect. It demands devotion. Hallelujah. So, anybody learning anything? Well, I don't know where all these papers are going, but go to James 3. That's enough of the characteristics. I just want you to recognize the spirit. In yourself. James 3:14-17. Everybody read with me. But if you have bitter envy, I guess I better wait a minute. Sorry. Ready? Ready, read. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Every evil thing. Ooh. Now see all those spirits that we just talked about? They're all right there in that scripture. Envy, self-seeking, confusion. This demon opens up the door for every evil thing. Amen. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to those who make peace. So if you can't live up to number 17 and you find yourself falling into number 15 and 16, you need deliverance, guys, girls. Amen? If you find yourself talking it and not walking it, you need deliverance. So the Spirit just wants a host, right? So now here's this poor man or woman walking around carrying this thing. They're already rejected. They're already insecure. They just want to be accepted. And then they just volunteer for everything, because that's a good way to control things, is to just be in charge of everything. And they're confronted with this, the fact that they have this spirit, and it just devastates them, unless they're really serious and willing to get set free. But what the demon wants, you know, we already talked about what it's doing outwardly to other people, but what the devil wants that person that's carrying that demon to feel is shame and hopelessness. They don't know what to do. They don't know why they act like that. So they're operating in witchcraft. I told you about that. Now let's talk about what goes along with witchcraft. The definition of witchcraft, a short version, is illegitimate authority. Illegitimate authority. They take authority instead of our given authority by God or by a person in authority. So their authority is illegitimate. They're rebellious, another spirit, manipulative, intimidating, dominating. Now, if you look at these words, this is an interesting thing. Manipulate, intimidate, dominate, hate. What do they all end in? Hate. Because they want to devour your fruit. They want to eat your lunch. Amen? Powerful, isn't it? There's a lot in words. They have deep-rooted insecurity. Okay. They're also impatient, easily threatened. Praise God. They have a big ego. Big ego. I got an acronym for you for the word ego. Easing God out. ego, easing God out. You don't need God. These people are frequently raised by fathers that didn't really love them, fathers that can never be pleased. I had one of those fathers. I had a father that could never be pleased. A lot of people in this room do. Amen? And so that thing just kind of gets passed down. People that have fathers that can never be pleased don't realize what a love relationship is with our Heavenly Father. And God wants to heal that relationship and have you know His Heavenly Father, so all that insecurity and rejection that you got from your father can be healed and you can get rid of this spirit. This thing is a blood-sucking spirit. You can get this thing as a child by no fault of your own. Okay? Somebody that's molested, it wasn't their fault, right? But it gave that spirit an opportunity to get in. So we have to help them get free. This is important. If you don't stay in the Word and you don't stay in the presence of God, you start to get a little fleshy, right? Get too busy, get too lazy, get sick, go on vacation, whatever it is. Okay? Your walk starts getting put over on the side a little bit. Your wife knows it, then your neighbors know it way before you know it, that you're fleshy. So when you start to get fleshy and your flesh is uncrucified, that's when that spirit will love to jump on you. We have to keep our flesh crucified. Jezebel makes the flesh feel good. That manipulation makes people feel good. It's like a fix. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit about what we're going to do about it, and then we're going to go to a few scripture, and then we'll be done. What are we going to do if we have a spirit of Jezebel? The first thing you're going to do is recognize it. That's why we're bringing it up today. All we're doing is shining light on darkness so that we can be free. First thing we have to do is repent. You have to decide that you don't want to operate in this thing anymore. You have to decide that you don't want to be used by this thing anymore. You got to get mad at it. You got to get angry that this thing was using you. The Bible says to hate evil. Well, if evil is using you, you better get a hatred for it. Amen? That's how you're going to get rid of it. You have to recognize the pattern and the motive of control. You have to recognize the patterns in yourself. You have to recognize the motives. In other words, you really need to listen more than you talk. Listen to what's going on in your head. Listen to what's trying to come out of your mouth. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Number three, we have to recondition ourselves to respond and not react. We want to respond in love, not just be volatile and react. Amen? We have to repent, recognize our patterns and motives, and then we have to learn to respond and not react. There's a huge difference. A response is thought out. Who told me that? A reaction is volatile. Amen? Number four, we have to refuse relentlessly and ruthlessly to regress. We have to refuse to let this thing operate in us. The Bible says to submit to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee. You have to resist. All these R's. Repent, recognize, recondition yourself not to respond. I mean, to respond and not react. Refuse relentlessly to regress. And number five is to renounce all thought patterns that deal with control. All thought patterns. All thought patterns. Everybody say all thought patterns. You have to recognize when you want to put your hands on something and be God when you're not. You have to relinquish control. You have to learn to trust God. Amen? With your wife, with your children, with your co-workers. If you're dealing with this in your home or in a body and somebody, you recognize this spirit in them. Now, we just recognized it in ourselves, okay? But you still have to know how to stand against it if it's in somebody else. First of all, in love. Everybody say in love. Okay. You have to confront it. If somebody changes the subject, lovingly say, that's not what we were talking about. You have to identify the confusion. The person will start to recognize it in themselves if you lovingly point it out. Then they'll look for it to be delivered. And also, we have to look to God. Whether this thing's in us or in somebody else, we got to look to God. We cannot change ourselves. Anybody else besides me know that? We cannot change ourselves. How long have we tried? Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to change the host. Okay, we can't do it ourselves. Now, if you're in this category and you're recognizing the fruits of this spirit in you, you not only have to get honest with yourself, you have to allow yourself to be held accountable. So you need to go to your spouse, go to your roommate, go to somebody and say, you know, I recognize this thing. I don't like it and I want to be free. Will you help me? You have to give somebody permission to confront you. Amen. If your wife comes and tells you something and you blow up in their face, chances are they're not going to try to help you the next time. Amen. You have to give them permission to lovingly correct you. Lovingly. You have to open yourself up. That means that you're going to make yourself vulnerable, guys. And Jezebel does not want to be vulnerable. Okay? You have to open yourselves up and be vulnerable. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to some scripture. Praise God. In order to change our behaviors, you know, you can be delivered of a spirit, but you still got behavior patterns. You still have habits. So after you go through deliverance, these patterns and behaviors are going to try to hang on. You have to recognize them and not cooperate with them so the spirit doesn't come back. Okay, so just because you went through deliverance and then you still hear these thoughts or you know, make a mistake and blow it, it doesn't mean the spirit came back in. It just means you got to guard your gates. Okay? John 8:32. Everybody okay? We know this scripture. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're not honest with yourself, if you don't look in the mirror, you won't know the truth, and you won't be free. You've got to stop blaming everybody else. You've got to. I don't care if you got to put duct tape on your mouth. You guys think I'm kidding. I'm serious. If you need duct tape to shut your mouth so that you can listen to what's going on in your head and how you're wanting to respond to your family or your roommate or your house manager, you got to get control. You got to look in the mirror because you can't get free without the truth. Amen? The truth that you need freedom. Okay, we have to be really committed to the truth. Amen? Not just in our family members, but in us. Us first. Remember, you can't take a plank, a speck out of somebody else's eye if you got a plank in yours. Don't try to correct people and help them when you're manifesting this stuff. You're in no position. Be quiet. Be quiet. Repent. Get humble. Oh, add pride to that list. pride. This thing's not going without some humility, which is the opposite of pride. Okay, go to Ephesians 4, please, in verse 11. So how do you get freed up from this thing? Well, we're going to do it the way God says, do it in the Word, because our way hasn't worked yet. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's maturity, guys. The unity of the faith. If we're not operating in unity, if we're operating in discord and strife, amen, then we need to grow up. And the way God does it in His body is by teachers, pastors, amen. And that's where you look to, for your help, to the Word of God, to the Word being preached and taught in the local body. Amen. God anoints and appoints pastors. Hopefully you don't have a pastor that appointed himself, because he's not anointed. Amen. They're called hirelings. But if you're in a place that was the pastor's called of God, he's anointed to help you get free of this stuff. Okay? 1 Peter. He or she. Do you know some churches believe that women can't preach? That's a religious devil. First Peter 5. I don't know if I'm preaching or teaching, probably a little of both. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, I don't know. Just give it to me, Lord. I don't care. I don't care what you call it. Let's just do it. I want it all. Starts with freedom, then you get it all. Praise God. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 5. Oh, immaturity again. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. I don't care if your elders younger than you. I'm talking about your elders in the Lord, okay? I don't care if you have gray hair and your house manager doesn't have whiskers yet. Submit anyway. All right? That's a little hard. Gotta die. We haven't said that all day, have we? Oh, well, let's do it. It's a good day to
die.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's try that one again. Likewise, you younger people, come on, read with me. Submit yourself. God rebukes you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You guys, if you're recognizing this stuff in yourself, don't beat yourselves up. God cares for you. He loves you just the way you are. Your roommate may be having a hard time handling you, but God loves you just the way you are. But He doesn't want you tormented on this earth and having to deal with this stuff. He wants you free. And we want you free. Okay, let's go back to the book of James, please. So we're going to be humble. We're going to be teachable. Do you know that even leaders need to be teachable? That's what makes a good leader. Nobody knows it all. God won't let that happen. Praise God. You know, as you're letting yourself be vulnerable to getting delivered of this stuff, chances are you might get hurt. Somebody might hurt your feelings. Somebody might make you feel rejected. You know, so what? It's a price to pay for freedom. Who cares? Amen? Okay, James 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's spiritual humility, you guys. And I'll tell you what, the Bible says, if you can't submit to a man who you can see, a house manager, a pastor, a husband. If you can't submit to them who you can see, then you can't submit to God who you can't see. So if you think that you're being submissive to God and you can't submit to your house manager or your spiritual authority, you're wrong. You're not submitting. Amen? You're prideful. 1 Samuel, please, 24. A couple more scriptures. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 6. This is when David was being chased by Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him. And David had opportunity to kill Saul, and Saul deserved it. And it would have been saving his life. He had opportunity. Let's see what he did about his opportunity. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." So Saul, or David, really had a right to take care of this matter, stop this demonic thing that he was going through. And he chose to not touch Saul, who was operating in a demon, because before he was operating in that demon, he was called an anointed of God. This spirit of Jezebel control and manipulation goes after authority. It'll cause you to try to come after God's anointed. And David said, "I'll not touch the anointing." You know, I look at pastors or preachers on TV, or I'll hear something going on, or I'll see something going on, and I'm telling you, God has got the fear of God on me. I will not speak against the men and women of God. Mm-mm. That's scary to me. You know, I'm going to reap what I sow, and I'm watching out for that thing. So be careful when people start gossiping and backbiting about the pastor and his wife, about another church. Be careful. Touch not God's anointed, okay? The Spirit will make you try to do that and bring judgment on you. 1 Timothy 5:19. We're just exposing, that's all. We're exposing so we can be free. First Timothy 5 and verse 19. You guys need to read this with me and wake up. Ready? "Do not receive an accusation of an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear." What that is saying is, when these immature people start running their mouths and talking about your authority figures, rebuke them. Shut them up. Don't cooperate with it. It says it right there in the Bible. If somebody comes to accuse the pastor or another pastor of something, it says you have to have two witnesses, two or more witnesses to come to you to say something. That's why we don't act on things when we hear it from one person. We wait. We'll hear it again if we need to. And, you know, nobody's going to die if we wait for what my husband calls let the course run. You know, so if somebody comes to you with an accusation, who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan's the accuser of the brethren. If there's something that needs to be taken care of, there'll be more witnesses. Don't allow a person with a controlling and a manipulating spirit come to you with an accusation and then use you to get their agenda accomplished, which is strife and division. Okay? Don't receive that accusation. Rebuke them. I don't care how old you are in the Lord either. That's what the Word of God says. Go ahead, do it. All right. Anyway, you know, we have safety in the body. That's why Jesus is the shepherd. We are the flock. We're the sheep. Puts us together in a group. That independent spirit want to separate you from the body so that the devil can eat you up. And, you know, the devil wants to make you feel alone and isolated. So if you're feeling alone and like you're the only one, like everybody's against you and you're everybody's wrong and you're right, chances are you're not. Amen? Chances are if everybody's trying to tell you something, not everybody else is wrong. Chances are it's you. Hello. Don't let that spirit deceive you. Two more scriptures. 2 Kings. Nine and verse 22. 2 Kings 9:22. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu, and he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answers, "What peace? As long as harlots of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many." When that spirit of Jezebel is operating, there is no peace. No peace. And you're not going to ever have peace. You'll never have peace in your household. You'll never have peace in the church until you confront that thing. No peace. One more scripture. Revelation. Praise God. Praise God. So we're, Jezebel's on the hit list, right? But I'm telling you, be careful. That's a big, whopping, nasty devil. Big nasty devil. You better make sure you're doing it in the spirit, not in the flesh. That thing wants to kill you. You know, and I didn't even go through, if you read in 1 and 2 Kings, the whole story about how Jezebel was married to Ahab, and Ahab wanted the next door neighbor's vegetable garden. And so he went to the neighbor and he said, "You know, I want your garden. I'll buy it from you, or else I'll give you another garden." And the guy said, "God forbid that you should take my inheritance, Ahab. I'm not giving you my garden." So he went home and he laid on his bed and he started whining and pouting. So Jezebel comes in and says, "What are you whining about? What are you pouting about?" And Ahab told her what the problem was. And she said, "Oh, quit whining. I'll take care of it for you. Are you not in authority over Israel?" she said. "Are you not in authority?" Then she said, "I'll take care of it for you." Hello? So she has this guy killed. She went and she got witnesses against him, lied. They witnessed against him and he was stoned. Then she comes back and says, "There's your garden." She signed Ahab's name and used his insignia. Don't you have the power, Ahab, over all of Israel? Give me your ring. Let me sign your name. And she had the guy killed. I'm telling you, be careful. This is a nasty devil. He wants to kill you. So, that's what happened in the Bible. There's no peace while Jezebel's around. Amen? So you can read more about that in there, but that's what happened. Oh, so what did he want to do to this neighbor? He wanted to steal his fruitfulness. Amen. Ahab and Jezebel wanted to steal the man's fruitfulness. And that's what Ahab and Jezebel want to do to you. They want to steal your fruitfulness. They want to take your garden. Amen. Okay. Revelation 2. Praise God. Last scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Verse 18. Revelation 2:18. And to the angel of the Church of True Ministries write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like a fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." That means that church is growing. "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman, that demon, man or woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I give her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. unless they repent for their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now that's a little scary. God is searching our hearts and our minds. If we have been participating with this devil, either it's operating through us, or we've been bowing to it with an Ahab spirit, God says, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Amen? It's trying to steal your very salvation. Amen? And when it talks about sexual immorality and things sacrificed to idols, Jezebel means priest of Baal. Priest of Baal. Not priestess. Priest. Strong. Domineering. Witch. Idolater. And that's what God holds you accountable for when you participate with this spirit. So praise God. Let's take God's warning in the book of Revelation as to us and pray. Thank him for his word. Thank him for revealing those spirits, because we can't fight what we don't know, guys. We can't fight an enemy we can't see. So today we found Jezebel and we're going to fight. Amen. We're going to tear down the kingdom of darkness so that God can have his way in this place.
Father, we just thank you for the word you've given to us, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are to look in the mirror today. And we reflect, Lord, that if there's anything in us, Lord, that is not of you, that if Jezebel has creeped into our household, Father, that it would be exposed today, that it would be dealt with, and that it would be cast out in the name of Jesus. We pray that the word that was come down from heaven today, that seed we planted to grow fruit according to your will and your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.